Hello and welcome to the Divorce Advocate, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval and I'm your host. Today, we're going to be talking about taking control of your divorce. And we got a phenomenal guest that has both practical and personal experiences. So many of us do in this topic, and I'm really excited to talk with him. Before we jump into it, again, show note, the divorce quiz is still up. Many of you are getting many of these a day, which is awesome, which means I think that it is helping you to gauge where you're at in your divorce process compared to where others have and are at in their divorce. And so check it out. It takes about 10 minutes. It's going to give you some immediate results to take a look at. And if you want to schedule a time to interpret those results or just talk about anything, then you'll have the opportunity to do that right as you get those results. So check it out either at the website at thedivorcedadvocate.com under divorce quiz or directly at thedivorcequiz.com. My guest today is a father of three, just like me, and probably many of you listening, who endured a highly toxic divorce nearly 18 years ago and for many years that followed. Well, we all know about that. His partner, Kristen Knoll, a mother of one, also survived a dramatic divorce with a young child. And as part of their healing journey, they co-founded Best Self Magazine, a leading voice for holistic health and conscious living, and most recently, the Best Self Intuitive Divorce Coaching Program to help other parents in the early stages of divorce take control over the divorce and avoid a prolonged, expensive process and a lot of emotional suffering for themselves and their children. In short, they now teach that which they needed to learn. Please welcome Bill Miles. Bill, how are
you? Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you very much for the introduction. Happy to be here.
I think your introduction basically describes a lot of myself or what a lot of people or a lot of the men that are listening have gone through. So share, just maybe elaborate a little bit more about, you know, your divorce and about yourself. And I want to start off by saying kudos to you. And I'm so grateful for people like you that have taken something that is so challenging and are doing something good and then coming and talking to us about it. So I really appreciate that.
Well, the bottom line is I feel that there is so much unnecessary suffering that goes on in divorce, both through, you know, for us fathers, through any parent, and for the children, of course. So it's really become a work of passion right here because I know it can make a difference. But just briefly on the details, my divorce process started about 18 years ago. And, you know, it takes a little while to actually get divorced, but that's just the beginning. Then you actually live with the divorce for the years that come, right? And so at the time I got divorced, my kids were, they were young. They were 5, 8, and 10 at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I see them as adults and I've seen they're still wrestling. They're still grappling with the process of the divorce and the years that followed. In different ways. And it's just fascinating to me, sometimes painful and sometimes heartening as well, to see how they navigate this and how things could have been different for them, you know? And mm-hmm. So that's really the genesis of this. And my partner, Kristen Knoll, and we've been together about 16 years at this point, and she ended up getting divorced about the same time with her son at that point was 5 or 4, I guess. And again, so he's now an adult and we've seen, you know, we have, yes, a blended family at this point, but we've seen what strategies work and what strategies don't work. And we kind of created this Best Self magazine about 7 years ago as a labor of love. It's kind of taken on a whole life of its own, which we're excited about. It's become kind of a leading voice for holistic health and conscious living. It's really about self-empowerment. But it was a process of learning all the tools that neither of us had in our toolbox when we were, you know, up to this point. It's like, how do you recover from, how do you not only recover from the ashes of a collapse, how do you learn from it? How do you let that guide you so that you don't make the same life mistakes going forward?
Right. Well, do any of us have the tools to go through divorce, right? Hopefully none of us go through it more than once. So if you don't go through something more than once, have you ever really developed those tools?
This is the thing. I now know that we all actually have tools within us to, yes, it's a new experience, but we have tools to handle the chaos. And we have tools to make the important decisions we have to make and from a grounded place, if we can access, if someone can guide us, if we can learn how to access those tools.
Right. That makes sense. So, so we're literally like, you know, if divorce is the Home Depot and we're trying to do a drywall repair, but they're all the tools are in the Home Depot. We just don't know which ones to use. We need somebody like you or somebody else to say, okay, these are the tools. This is where you go buy them. And this is what this is how you implement them. And, you know, this is a guy analogy, right? Tools. And
it's a really good analogy. Yeah. That's what it is.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit then, about how to take control of your divorce. And you've identified these tools or these five different ways in which you can do that. What's the first one that you need to do?
Yeah. So there's Kristen and I have kind of developed a methodology, and there are basically five shifts, mental shifts that you have to make to take control that can be very effective to allow you to take control of your divorce. And the caveat to this is that, I'm speaking to any person at any stage in their journey, but especially people in the first 100 days of their divorce. And the reason that that's so important is to catch them in the early stage, is because it's when you're emotionally so charged, right? Whether it's shame or anger or chaos or confusion. It's really an emotionally charged period. Yet in those first 100 days, you're asked to make decisions that are critical to both your financial security and the emotional security for you and your children for years and years to come. So that's why if you can get a hold of it early on, it can really dramatically shape your outcome.
And when you say the first 100 days of your divorce, you mean 100 days of starting the divorce process or considering filing for divorce?
It's clearly not a concrete definition of when it starts, but basically, once you cross the line, you know, we're not really involved in saving marriages or marriage counseling and so forth. And I hope marriages do survive. But when you cross that line and you know the divorce is imminent, so either you've made that emotional shift or you've discussed it, or maybe you're already starting the divorce process. But, you know, it takes a while to get divorced. The average divorce is in this country is 11 months. And if it goes to trial, it's 18 months or longer. Right. So it's a long road ahead. But the stage is set quite early, actually, because you start with your temporary agreement, and it just builds from there.
Right. So, and I'd add, because the majority of men are the ones that are served with divorce papers, that process starts right there, right then, whether you're aware of it and consciously aware of it, that this is all going to start a whole cascading effect of emotions and feelings and all kinds of things that are going to be happening, whether you wanted to or not, because you were just served papers.
That's right. It is going to happen. That train is moving.
Exactly.
And that kind of is another analogy, is what we want to help you prevent is this runaway train.
Yeah.
Even if your life feels like a train wreck right now. I mean, that's a very common emotion. So,
right. So how, what do we do?
Yeah. All right. So the first shift is to view your divorce as the opportunity of a lifetime. And that seems counterintuitive, because if you are in the thick of this chaos and you feel like your life has been ripped apart and your dreams have just collapsed, the last thing it looks like is an opportunity.
Yes.
But
I get that all the time, right? I say it's an opportunity. It can be an opportunity. And sometimes you get that blank stare, like, opportunities are good, right?
Ain't nothing good happening here. My life is just exactly. But, you know, we've got some hindsight here. And the fact is, it is an opportunity. And it's not just for the obvious reasons. It's an opportunity to rebuild your life and get right things that you didn't get right before. And that's a lot deeper than just maybe choosing a different partner, if that's what it feels like it should be to you. What it really means is getting in touch with yourself and taking accountability for your role. And that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, especially if they are the ones that feel like divorce has happened to them. Like, I mean, there are many situations. Maybe your spouse had an affair. Maybe you felt dumped. Maybe who knows what it was. Maybe they just fell out. But if you're on the receiving end of that, you know, it can be hard to have to do that inner work to see the role that you played. It took me a long time, but I see it now. And so
can we talk briefly about what you just said there, which is divorce happening to you? Because I find that interesting. And I find interesting that when I hear that from some of the divorced dads going through that, divorce is never going to just happen to you. That there's some dynamic that has evolved in the marriage and in the relationship that took both people to be part of in order for there to then be the result of a divorce. And so what you just said is, I'm rephrasing it a little bit, is that there's something that happened there that if you can take a different look at it from a different perspective, or we call it reframing, that this is an opportunity for you then to do something different, to do something better, whether that's a better marriage or parenting or whatever it could be. At least for me, it was an entire better life, right? Because the dynamic wasn't just exclusive to the marriage, it was permeating through my entire life. So talk about that in a little more detail, so we can help like some of the dads that are like, this is horrible, but like I do want to have a better life, and I want to if this is an opportunity, I really want to seize on it.
You want to seize it. It's a lot to grasp, and it's going to be a lot to grasp in the short time that we have. But it is very easy to feel like this impending train of divorce is happening to you. I felt like that way. It's not what I wanted to see happen. My life was literally blown apart overnight. And it was like, oh my God, this is real. This is going to happen. This is happening to me. But so there are two parts of that. One is that you, as in me, happened equally to get to this end result, right? That's the accountability part. Go back in time and look at the red flags. How many times did you not listen to that inner voice, which is something I'll get to in a minute? When maybe you swallowed what you felt was really correct for you in the name of, I don't know, social appearances or the children or, you know, not wanting to rock the boat, whatever it may be. There are many reasons that we stay into things that maybe we shouldn't. The other side of happening to the divorce is that you actually can have control. That's really what I want to empower our people to realize, is that they're going through divorce. You can take a controlling position in this and shape the outcome and design the life that you want. That's really what it's about. So don't take it passively. Go ahead.
And why is that important? Well, I guess that kind of gets into the next one. Why is that important to take that active role, right? That's a huge point. And I also want to say that the points we're making here, Bill's going to have an opportunity and offer for you guys to be able to plug into this and get more information about it. So if you're taking notes or if you're like wanting to get more, we'll have at the end of the show some more information for you. But why is that taking control so incredibly important?
Here's the setup. If you don't take control to design the life that you want, it will get designed anyway. It's going to get designed by your ex, by your lawyers, by your family, by your friends, by your children, none of whom probably have your best interests at heart or know what you really want, period. So something's going to happen. You will have a life that's designed. But if you want it designed by you, you have to step up and be proactive about it. If you want to take command of what your financial future is going to look like, what your relationship with your children is going to look like, much less, of course, the logistics of where you're going to live and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But even the bigger picture, what kind of a future love relationship do you want to have? These things have to be considered. They have to be actively thought about, because you can control these. And if you don't, as I said, you'll get a result anyway. It just won't be the one you want.
Yes. And they all correlate together. So the parenting plan that you create impacts your future relationship. It impacts the relationship you have with your children. It impacts the financial situation that you have. I mean, this impacts everything that you do. So burying your head in the sand, or just allowing your attorney to determine what stock agreement they may have that they use on 95% of cases, is not a good plan for getting through this process.
And the attorneys in particular, and I have nothing personally against attorneys, except that I spend a lot of time with them and paying them.
Right, yeah.
And I can tell you that however well-intended they are, their agenda is very different than yours. It is.
Sure.
They have a lot of knowledge. I'm not saying you don't need attorneys. You probably will. But you can manage them as well. You can manage that outcome.
Well, it is your job to manage them. You are hiring them. And just like you hire anybody else as a team member or for a service or anything else, it is incumbent upon you to be the one that is, I call it, driving the bus.
Actually is a good segue into shift number two, which is to become the CEO of your divorce.
Yeah, I like that.
It's really taking charge of your team. Mm-hmm. And what do you do as a CEO? You set the vision and the tone. Okay, this is how I want to proceed. This is what I want for my outcomes. This is how I want to conduct myself. And what's your objective for the team? And once you have clarity, and you know, as I mentioned before, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a child psychologist, not a financial advisor. You might need all of those people. They all serve a role. But you need to be clear with them what your goal is and what tone you want to have through the divorce.
Right.
So I want you to, you know, all the dads out there, step up and start taking, you know, control of this at an early stage, even if it feels awkward right now.
Yep.
You do need to lead this. And if you do, you'll have amazing results.
Yeah. And for many listening, that may be a new thing. That may be a new thing. They may not have been, and this may be have been a part of the challenge in the dynamic and why the dynamic was unsuccessful in their relationship, because they had not taken control. They not led like they may have needed to. And now they're faced with this, you know, this very challenging time that is going to determine a good part of the next decade, maybe two decades of their lives. And if there's no bigger wake-up call in your life than right now, then you're going to be stuck with an incredibly difficult and challenging and potentially unhappy life if you don't step up now. And that may be hard to do, and that may be scary, and there may be all kinds of stuff going on in your mind as to what could happen, but now is the time to do it, because
that's right.
It's the impact is, and if not for anybody other than your kids, because it's going to impact your kids too. And I want to circle back to what you said, which is your kids, your parent, or your kids, your family, your ex, any, none of them are thinking about you first. They're thinking about themselves. And that's not a bad thing. That's just human nature. Yeah. That's just human. And that's just, and that's okay. But you need to be thinking about you and what your needs are and how you move forward and how you get clear on all that. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that too, coming up here too, because that is incredibly important. But I just want to emphasize what you said, which is now's the time. Be the CEO, be the bus driver, whatever you want to call it. Now is the time. You've got to step up, get your head out of the sand. Hopefully this is a wake-up call that it's time for you to, at the very least, lead your own life.
And the fact is, it sounds like work to say that, but it actually is joyful. And I say joyful, that may be an overarch of the word, but when you realize that you actually have control to design something in the future, that suddenly gives meaning to the whole process and kind of carries you through.
Yeah, yeah. And so, again, you and I have the pleasure, if you will, of hindsight and being able to look at that and say, yes, I can see that that this is a positive and this is a good way to do it. Now, I'm sure you did it a lot smarter than I did. Mine was like all through mistakes and screwing stuff up and everything else, but you strike me a lot smarter than me. But we at least have the, I at least have the hindsight to say, yes, you can do that. You can through through control and being able to be proactive in this, design it how you want.
I certainly, when I went through, I don't think it was any more capable or smarter or anything else. I was blindsided. You know, we all are. That's the thing. And
for me, I'm setting you up for a sales pitch here, just a mini one in the middle here. Like, well, yeah,
now
I
got it all worked
out for you guys. But my five shifts, you know, check out the webinar. Anyway,
All right. So shift number three, these all tie together. Is to harness the power of your intuition. And now that sounds very woo-woo to a lot of people, especially a lot of guys. But it's not. And there's actually science behind it. You know, the brain emits an energy field, right? The heart emits an energy field. And the heart brain emits an energy field 5,000 times as powerful as the brain does itself.
Right.
How you feel, the energy that you put out is incredibly powerful at influencing things. But most importantly, where intuition comes into play is that too many people, when they're going through divorce, defer their higher self, their inner guidance, to the experts, to the lawyer. To your mother, to your father, to your brother, to your friend, maybe to your children. There's only one expert. There's only one expert, and it's right here. You know what you want and how it feels. So when I say tune in, you know, harness the power of your intuition, what it really means is, okay, I've got a big decision to make here. You know, it's a custody issue, or it's a living arrangement, or it's a financial arrangement. How does that make you feel when you are considering option A or B? Sure, make the pros and cons list and check them off, but then sit with it. You know, how does it feel? Does one feel more expansive or constricting? Does one feel, you know, just more painful? Or does one feel aligned with your values? Does one feel in conflict? It's not a natural thing. It's something you have to cultivate, but I promise you that the answer is always there. And if you listen to your feelings, if you tune into that, and you have to get quiet and find solitude to do that.
Yes.
The answer will emerge.
Right.
And the answer doesn't come to you as obvious as an email that says, do this.
Right.
But sometimes you do get these little winks from the universe, if you will. that kind of reinforce your idea. But it does come to you with a sense of calm about the answer. And this is what guides you. And I promise you, when you follow your heart, it will never be the wrong answer. Period. Period. There are no mistakes to be made. That's why it's such a powerful concept.
Absolutely. And that's the philosophy. We talked about it on the show, that life is working for you, not against you.
Amen.
And so
yes,
that's that was an aha moment for me in life in general, but through this process particularly, because it's so incredibly challenging. But again, I have the hindsight of looking back and saying, oh, well, I see why that happened the way that it did. And that's led to something that's been better, and I can connect the dots now. So, you know, we're fortunate to have that, but at least those of you listening can if you can reframe and say, there is no, I love what you said. There are no bad decisions. There's no negative decisions. There's just decisions. And it's moving you in a direction that you're supposed to go for whatever reason that might be. And the other thing I want to say is, one of the words that I like to use is, does it make you feel empowered?
That's it.
Right?
That's right? Really it. Yes.
Yeah. Does it make, so when you think about the decision you want to make, and if everybody is telling you the opposite, trust if it makes you feel empowered, because nobody else, what you said is spot on. Nobody else knows what is best for you. So everybody can tell you the opposite, but if it doesn't make you feel empowered, or all the other ways that you described it, or however you want to get quiet and you want to do this process, that if it doesn't feel right to you, don't do it. Just trust your intuition.
And I made mistakes going through where I made concessions to my ex for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
That didn't feel right to me. Like I made concessions to try and make her happy, or that it would ease the friction with the kids and so forth.
Right.
Guess what? Didn't.
Yep.
I just lost out financially.
Right.
I just gave away money, which worsened my ability to support my family over the long, many years ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is why you've got to listen to, you really have to listen to yourself. So
yeah. Absolutely. And I'll add, you know, there have been times where I've done that, and there have been times that I finally learned, finally, after beating my head against the wall so many times, to just trust it, and had the attorney say, I absolutely adamantly believe that you should not do that. And I'd say, sorry. And then have it turn out and have my attorney say, that's not how I would have done it, but you are right. And so it's only, it will be right for you because it is empowering to you. And again, the attorneys, you're, you know, a segment of a part of their day of many people. And so they're not tuned in to all of what you are tuned into in your life, in your families, in your children, in your ex, and all the other experts and people that you might have working on your team. That's why you're the CEO. So trust your intuition. It's just like a coach that has the intuition to go for it on the goal line, or a certain player to take that last second shot, or whatever it is, you're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. It's just harder. We're not taught to do it this way.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, taught to consider ourselves in this way, because it's not tangible.
It's not tangible. And we're doing it through this high pressure situation that we've never been in before. It's not like we've practiced this over and over again and over and over and how to figure it out. We might just be learning how to do this right now, which is like what that's I was doing. And it was a lot.
And you know what, when you're paying lawyers $400, $500 an hour, $300, whatever it is, it's a lot. I'm not saying dismiss them. I'm saying if you're paying them, they have good information.
Sure.
But just use it as that. Use it as information. And then get them off the payroll as quickly as you can.
Amen. Yes.
My God, the system is rigged to bleed you.
Yes.
It really is.
We did a whole, That's a whole nother podcast episode.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So the fourth shift is to choose you first. And yes. You've used this analogy too, but it's like when you're on the airline and they say, put the oxygen mask on you first before you try and help your children and your neighbor, whatnot. Absolutely true. You have to fortify yourself in order to, you know, be strong for this journey, because if you don't, and it hits on a few, self-care is one of them. If you don't take care of yourself physically, you're going to be anxiety ridden. You're going to fall into weight changes. You may well deal with sleep disorders during divorce because it's so anxiety provoking.
Right.
You really have to take care of yourself, and it's too easy for parents to fall into the trap of subjugating their needs for their children, or for just dealing, for the lawyers, for their family, whatever it is, and not saying, stepping back and going, wait, I feel terrible. I feel like shit. I'm not sleeping, whatever. I need to shore up myself if I'm going to make responsible decisions for my children.
Yeah. It's absolutely critical. And we talk on the show about it being mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, like a four-legged stool, taking care of all of those parts, because they all interact with each other. And if you're not in no matter what your dynamic, if you've maybe been the primary breadwinner and you've been at work and working all the time, and now you're shifting to have to take care of kids, and or the opposite where you're not, so whatever it is, you still have to step back and focus, because this is going to be a wholesale change in your life. So if you're making a wholesale change anyway, you may as well start with the foundation of what is most important, which is yourself.
Yeah. You want to be in a grounded position when you make these decisions. You want to be in a
grounded position. What does that mean?
It means you're not emotionally charged. It means that you're letting go, you're pausing. I don't want to speak for all the dads out there, but certainly for many of them, they may be really angry at their ex or soon to be ex. Whatever happened, whatever the circumstances are, whatever led to it, they may be really bitter. That is not a foundation for making responsible choices for your children.
Right.
It's just not. Or you may feel really shameful. You may have done something you feel terrible about.
Right.
So you're feeling weak and small. That is not a good foundation for making responsible decisions for you and for your children. It's just not. So what grounded means, it's taking a step back, anchoring again in your heart, what you want, what are your values, step away from the emotion, what is best for me, what is best for my children, what's best for the family in the long term, what's best for our finances in the long term, not in the short term. And that's often a mistake, because divorce in the scheme of things is a short-term process, but it has long-term consequences. Right. And there are two layers of finances, right? You've got the costs of divorce, which are primarily legal costs and court fees and admin costs. And then you've got the settlement costs, which are the alimony or child support. That's the huge setup right there. There's so many expenses down the line. Kids going to private school or college or camps and everything else down the line after divorce dust is settled. This is what you're living with.
Right.
The repercussions are huge on that. So grounding, being grounded when you make these decisions is what's important.
So that is great. And you said, like, get clear on what it is, like your self-care or your emotions, framing this as an opportunity. But man, we're going through all this. You've been off through this, three kids. This is a transition, and we got to work, and we're still like, how in the heck do you do that? I mean, how do you manage all that? Or how do you figure it all out?
Okay. So there are certain things. You step back and you have to, so to get tactful about it, you have to write some things down. Like, okay, how do I want to approach my interaction with my ex? Okay, I'm mad as hell that she did this or that, or treated the kids this way, or whatever it was. But for the sake of the kids, I resolve that I am not going to disparage her in front of the children.
Mm-hmm. Period. Absolutely. Right.
You know, I'm making these up. They'd be different for everybody.
Sure.
Another huge one is truth telling, right? As crazy as things may be for you right now, you can anchor yourself and say, I resolve to tell the truth and be honest with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a value.
Right.
Because it's very easy to not, or to start lying a little bit, or maybe it's a little white lie that turns into a big lie. And then the thing is, if you don't tell the truth to the kids, they create their own truth about it. And it may be right. far darker or more divergent than the reality. And that's yes. very damaging. And right. now truth telling, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation too, but it has to be done in age appropriate bites, right?
Absolutely.
They don't need to know everything that happened, but they right. do need to know what it is that you tell them has to be truthful.
Right.
And something you can build upon.
Right.
So.
Well, those are good tips, but how, like, some of these tools need some facilitation.
Let's have, give me an example. I'll try and respond to you. Tell me something that could be out of control. You can't get your hand around.
Yeah. So what does my life look like as a single dad of three kids when I've been working all of the time? Because now I have 50-50 and I have no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you like your life to look like?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's break it down. That's a very broad question, so let's make it a little bit more specific.
Because I've been at the office for our entire marriage, and now I have three kids 50% of the time, and I have to figure out how to get them to school and have, like, their appointments and what they eat and how they dress and, you know, all that stuff. Like, I don't even know how to think about what that looks like. I don't know even how to create that vision of what I want it to look like, because I don't even know.
Okay. So going back to your values, could you say, okay, I don't know how to get the kids dressed. I've never really done that. That's been her job, whatever. That maybe that isn't so important.
Okay.
They will get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not worried about them going to school naked. So let's just take a little weight off that.
Okay.
They will eat. So
right.
Maybe I don't have to have everything organized, you know, in nice, neat little boxes the night before, or maybe right. I do. Maybe that's the way I can have control over this.
Okay.
And engage them in the process.
Okay.
What steps? So right now, what you just described is feeling out of control.
Right.
Right. Out of control. Yep. I just don't know. I'm out of control. What steps can you do to bring control back into it? Okay, let's start with mealtime. If that feels chaotic, let's start simple. Okay. What can we do this together? Can we involve the kids together? Can we just say, okay, we will have dinner together as a family, period.
Mm.
Instead of it being chaotic because mom used to do this and they used to be at sports and this and this and this. How can I do it differently to simplify all this chaotic nonsense that's going on?
Right. Okay.
When I don't know how I'm ever going to date again or find love again or whatever, how about I don't worry about that right now?
Sure.
How about I just take that off the table and let that evolve when I'm ready to open my mind or my heart to that kind of thinking. So I don't need to stress about that.
Mm-hmm.
Good. What I need to do is not try and win the year or win the divorce. What I need to do is win the day.
Yeah.
What can I do to win the day?
Let's just
focus on today.
Yeah. Good. I like that.
That's it. When you're blown apart, you just got to break it down to a little win. Can I make it to lunch? Can I get them to school today and make it to lunch and still get to work and get that project done? Can I do that?
Right.
I don't know what chaos tonight will bring, but why don't we all center and come together for dinner, and then we'll divvy up and see who needs to do what tomorrow and what can and can't work, period. I'm not going to deal with all the overwhelm right now because I'm in the office. We'll deal with it at the end of the workday.
Right. And this is going to be, would you agree, a process, right? It's going to be a learning process. It's a new thing. And with anything that's new, you might need help. Right?
Yes. That's the fifth shift, really, get help. Yeah. And what really, get coaching, get a mentor, get someone who has kind of been through this and can guide you. And this is somebody different, as I said, from your team. This is not your, I'm not saying therapy doesn't have a value. Therapy is incredibly valuable. It's different than coaching.
Yes.
The coaching is like a Sherpa. It's like, you need to climb that mountain. I'm going to hold your hand and help you take the steps you need to get there,
Right.
Therapy is more like, my ankle hurts. I can't climb that mountain right now. Okay, the therapist is going to help you heal your ankle so that you can take the next steps.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the therapy's backwards looking to get you to the point where you're at, and coaching is where you're at and forward looking to where you want to be. And both are incredibly important, but they're different, but combined they can be very, very effective. So if you got a therapist, that's great. But we were just talking about in the context of overwhelm and challenges and going through this time where you don't know what's going on, coaching is completely, completely different, because it's going to help you figure out where you want to get and clarify where you want to get and how to get there. Like you just did a masterful job of breaking it down. You don't have to figure out dating and everything. Like, you need to figure out how you're going to get meals for tomorrow. And that might be, you do it together. And it's as simple as that. And then how do you do that?
Then you realize that works. I can do that. Okay. Now I can tackle the next thing.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, and coaching is very outcome driven. That's the thing. The therapy, and I've been through plenty of therapy and it has helped for certain resolutions. Yep. It's far less, it's more process and less outcome driven.
Right.
And there's value in that. But so
perfect.
If I had somebody like you or we're doing in my life 18 years ago, things would have been so different. And I think that's why I was driven to this work right now, because I felt completely alone. And that's the irony. Half of the marriages wind up in divorce. So there were so many people going through divorce, millions, but you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You feel like you're in a cave, like you're the only one, and you don't know where to look. I mean, you've got to call a lawyer at some point and they tell you some information and all this sort of stuff. But someone who can guide you through is priceless. And furthermore, you can put a dollar value on it, because they can save you through the process, through following your heart, through limiting this train wreck, this runaway train of a divorce. You can save a ton of money, both in legal costs and, more importantly, in making the right choices in terms of settlements that you might not otherwise make.
That might be a show that we do in the future to talk about, because that's not something, what you just described. And I think that other people like yourself and myself and others who have been on the show get into this for heartfelt reasons to want to help people, because we went through such pain and difficulty and see that we now have the ability to help mitigate some of that. And what you said was exactly how I felt. Like, it's crazy, right? All these people are going through it, but you all feel alone. And that's why we've created the Divorce Advocate community, so people can get plugged in and we don't self-isolate, that we're talking with other men and other men are sharing. And we do this in our group coaching. I think it would be important at some point to talk about this from a financial perspective and how beneficial it is, because almost every day I talk to one of the dads that's decimated by a bad agreement that he got into for whatever reason, but it is having an impact on his children because he's unable to be the best dad he can, because it is so onerous and difficult. And this is happening all the time. So maybe that'll be something in the future that we can talk about and maybe quantify, because I don't think folks like us do that enough to put a value, if you will, because I don't know about you. I just don't think in those terms, like trying to put a dollar value on it. But I think it's important that we start talking about that a little bit more. I got off track with that, but
yeah,
it is, I think it's important.
Well, it's an important, I mean, look, money's the thing that wears you down. Many things wear you down, but you'll get worn down by money in divorce, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just a huge elephant that you've got to work through.
Yeah.
In the process. Yeah. So,
well, Bill, thank you so much. This was phenomenal. We could, like I said, when we were chatting before, we could probably talk for a couple more hours. But I think we should come back and maybe revisit that and have a show about the financial benefits of having somebody guide you or a coach guide you through this process and taking control of your divorce. Where can the listeners connect with you and get more information on these five steps?
Sure. So our program's called the Best Self Intuitive Divorce Program. But if you go to Best Self, you know, like be your best self, bestselfintuitivedivorce.com.
Okay.
That's it. You go to that. There's a landing page that tells you about us and invites you to watch a masterclass that kind of walks you through these shifts, but in a more detailed and organized way so that you feel really empowered by the end of it. Okay. You can also, there's an opportunity there to book a free call because we, we offer free discovery calls, breakthrough calls is what we call them, with potential clients to help them really identify the true problems that they're facing and the stakes that they're facing and give them a solution forward. So bestselfintuitivedivorce.com. Yeah.
bestselfintuitivedivorce.com, and it's free. So I mean, at the very least, anybody who's listening, who's going through this challenge, everybody has got to get on a free call with somebody in those first 100 days to talk with somebody, and not just an attorney, a coach, to get a global picture, or like we were talking about, of what's going on, and just even if it's just pointing you in a direction that is going to help you. If it's free, why would you not do it? So go check it out. Yeah. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, please share this far and wide on social media. Leave us a review, give us a like, give us a star, or leave comments in whatever podcast platform that you're listening to, because our whole goal here, Bill and Kristen and myself and everybody else in this community who's trying to help divorcing people or divorcing dads is to get this information out. And this helps us immensely by doing that. So,
and it's so good to talk with you. You know, this kind of conversation, is it touchy-feely? Is it woo-woo? Maybe a little yes. Honestly, it's really practical. It's really hardcore practical. This is about how you not only survive, but thrive through the process and beyond, and set yourself up for a fantastic next chapter. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So
thank you.
Bill, it was such a pleasure having you.
Very good. Till next time.
Take care.